If not, you'd like to read with us in the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel. This is a very familiar scripture with anybody that's done much reading in the Old Testament or heard a lot of the Old Testament read, where Saul, instead of doing what God asked in killing everything, he saved the best of the animals, bringing it back, and then when he got caught at it, he said they was doing it to give it for sacrifices. And, you know, they may have been some truth in that. They may have been going to sacrifice some to the Lord. But, you know, in what we're reading to you here, we're going to start the 22nd verse. And Samuel makes it real clear what was the most important thing. You know, a lot of people this day and time, they talk about the sacrifices they make in their life. They talk about what they deny themselves and all of this, that they might be a better Christian. But I wondered, how many times are we being obedient unto God? We can do all of these things, but if we're still not being obedient unto God, we've wasted our time. Because obedience is better than anything that we deny ourselves just so somebody might see it and look upon it. You know, he could have brought all these multitudes back and had just days and days and days of sacrificing every bit of it unto God. And it would have counted for nothing because of his disobedience. And start reading at the 22nd verse. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion," now listen to this, "for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery, Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Now, you think disobedience, when he was intending to give a sacrifice unto the Lord, well, God would overlook it and that won't hurt him that bad. But God pronounced what it was going to do. He had separated himself from Saul right there and was telling Saul, "You're not going to be king anymore. Then if you'll turn over into Ecclesiastes." The 11th chapter and the 9th verse. Ecclesiastes 11:9. "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart, and in the sight of thy eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." Then just turn over to the 12th chapter and the very last verse said, "For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Then if you'll turn over into the New Testament, St. John, the 12th chapter and the 48th verse, 12:48 of St. John, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Now listen to that. He said, "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Now, each and every one of us, we realize today that there's many printings of Bible out that people still call the Bible, and yet some of them, the best they could pass for would be a commentary on the Bible. But each and every one of us, we can pick up a book that will go along with about any belief that we want to have. and will make us feel good believing anything that we want to believe, because we can find somebody that wrote a book along those lines that we can feel like that we're not standing all alone. But God made it very plain in His Word that when all is said and done, when we stand before God, we're being judged by His Word. The way that He said it unto us, not how man has changed it, not what man has decided to do with it, but exactly what the Word of God is. And Christ said, I'm not going to be standing there to judge you, but the Word that I've spoken already, that's what will judge you. Why? Because God is not going to judge you for something that we don't know anything about. I can go to living up here, and I can break all that I don't even know all no more, and be arrested and taken before a judge and fell guilty. Not because I deliberately broke the law, but because they made law and they never passed it out. Do you and I know what it's all about? But God, He told you and He told me. He gave us His Word and He said, this is what you're going to be judged by. When you stand before me, these words will be a witness against you. If you have sin in your life and you've been disobedient unto it, in each and every one of us, we can read these words and find out what God requiring. And there, as God told Saul exactly what He was requiring of him, and Saul went off, and because the people, God didn't need to speak to all the people, He spoke unto Saul and told Saul exactly what it was that He was wanting him to do. And then when Saul went off, he took care of carrying out most of it with the people. But the animals, he just killed those that was not the best. And he kept all of the goodly ones. And he said it was because he feared the people. He gave in to what they were wanting. And God has told you and I not to fear man, but to fear God. And it's time today for people to realize when we stand before God, God is judging us just as we read to you by His Word. There's nothing else that we have to be afraid of facing but the Word of God and how we measure. You know, when I used to be in construction, there was many a time that you go laying out a wall in a room, and most of the time I was giving the dummy end of the tag. All I had to do was hold it on board, and somebody else would pull it out, a finished carpenter and mark it, the very thing that they wanted, laying the walls out. But if somebody that say you will cut a foot because they were going to pull the tape down and they give you something to hold on. And I've done it before. Every man that told me to cut the foot holding the tape like that, he forget it and mark him on. And they start building. Well, here comes the superintendent though, and he go check it out, and he find out there's a mistake, man. The door was in the wrong place. This was wrong and that was wrong. And he wouldn't say that's good enough. But you say you're going to have to tear this down and do it over again. Well, you and I, our lives is not measured up under the Word of God. When it comes to us standing before God, we're going to have to measure up. And it makes no difference if we've lived a long life. If it hasn't measured up to what God wanted, we might have a lot to tear down and try and build over. But if we don't, when we stand before God, there'll be no excuses made. Listen again there to that 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes in the 9th verse. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thy heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. You know, today, have you ever heard somebody say, oh, you got to sow your wild oats? You know, that's exactly what God's getting at here. You and I, we can do as we please, and we don't have to worry about what man thinks about it. We can just go and do whatever we want to in our heart, as long as it's not something that is breaking the law so bad that we're going to get locked up. Or if we're lucky enough to get away with it and not get caught, we can, when we're all set around, and tell people about how mean we were when we was young. But what if we don't live to get old? I had a second cousin that his mom and dad went to church, and they took me for the church a whole lot, and they talked about what a good kid he was. But I knew him. I went to school with him, and I was one of those that was around in the party that he would come to when we just had a neighborhood party, and he would Leroy and come in, and he had been drinking somewhere or another. You can smell it up on it. Mom and Dad didn't know anything about it. They thought he was a good boy. But one night, and he was coming up 1:30 sitting. Had to be sober this time. But then another man on the highway drove. And the man crossed the center line. They were two people in the car. Leroy and another boy. And at that time, nobody wore a seatbelt. That man right off the side of the driver, and he just took back side of the car. Leroy right out of the car is going in the road, and the other guy only got a few cuts from flying blood, but Leroy was killed immediately. The preacher talked about, oh, what a good boy he was. But every one of the young people knew Leroy was in hell. The life that he lived, he got out. His family didn't know. The preacher didn't know. But those that walked with Leroy, we knew. And God knows. You might have it here from everybody, but when you stand before God, nothing will be here. We're going to face God with the life that we've lived and how it measures up to His Word. And you know, I used to be amazed when I was a kid, sitting thinking when I'd hear Dad preach about messages were that the God had a record of everything, every idle word, deed, even the thoughts of our mind. And I used to listen to that and think, my, God's keeping that kind of a record on me. Yet I found it hard that God would know everything about me until I got right with the Lord. When I got right with the Lord, I seen clearly just where I was at. I thought I was pretty good till I started seeing it through eyes that had been enlightened by the Spirit of God. Then I began to realize just how awful I really was. You and I today, we look through the eyes of man and we don't know all the hidden secrets. And we think so-and-so is a pretty good fellow. But in the eyes of a righteous God, you and I, if we're not washed pure and clean in the blood of the Lamb, we are one horrible looking thing in the eyes of God. And it's time for us to realize when we stand before God, there will be no excuses made. Either we're His child and we have been washed in the blood, or we're not. And if we're not, then there's only one other place to go. You know, the Bible speaks about three ways, but we're going to two places. He said there's a broad way, there's a seam right way, and there's a straight and narrow way. And you know, there's so many people that's walking that seam right way. Well, this seems right to me. But if it's not what God says right, it's wrong. And we can seem right, but it still be wrong. Like I said in construction, I've seen people work for a long time, thinking what they was doing was right. And come to find out, it wasn't. And they had to tear it down and start over. You and I, if we'll remember God when we're young, we can find that God will be there no matter what troubles comes in life. God will be there to hold our hand and to see us through. But when we're not willing to admit that we can, I guess, do wrong, not willing to admit that we need a Savior, when we stand before God, we're going to find out just what kind of a person we really was. When we see ourselves, you know, the Bible said they'd say amen to their own condemnation. What would that mean? And I mean, at that day, they'll see clearly just how bad they really were. You know, in my background, I've got relatives that kill people, that done drugs, that was alcoholics, that dealt drugs, you name it, I've got it. That's related to me. And except for the blood of Jesus Christ, I would have been just like that too. That's all that made the difference. It wasn't anything in me. It was that Christ come and cleaned me up from being that exact same thing as they are. You and I, we can look down our nose to that man out there and see it and say, oh, I'm much better than them. But except for the grace of God, that could be you, that could be me. None of us is good within ourselves. None of us is able to make a deal within ourselves. None of us is able to cleanse ourselves from our sin except we come into the Lord. That come to do that, God, we'll still be in sin when we die an old man or woman. Why? We can work every day and we can't do it ourselves because it takes the blood of Christ to cleanse us. You know, you and me can deceive ourselves into thinking that things that's not right are right. But when we do that, we have not accomplished a thing. We have only made it harder on ourselves to get right with God. You know, until a person really sees their lost condition, it's impossible to repent. You got to first see that you need God. And listen to this. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He didn't say, I'm just going to bring the things that everybody knows about you. He said, every secret thing. You know, the things that your wife, your husband, your mother, your dad, that nobody knows about you, God knows. And you'll give an account, even of those secret things. Isn't it awful to think when we stand there, if we've not put it under the blood, to have to face our life the very way we lived it? You know, I've seen men stand in a courtroom when the judge and them was reading the charges off. You see them drop their head. They was ashamed. They thought that nobody would ever know, but they got caught and they were ashamed because everybody's going to know about this now. God already knows. And He's the one that it really counts with. You know, according to the Bible, one of these days, we're going to have to do business with God. And nobody's going to escape it. He'll either be our Lord and Savior, or He'll be standing there to pronounce judgment upon us after our life is laid up against His Word to see what we are. Each one of us, if we get some song to sing, look into your heart and life tonight. Judge yourselves that you be not judged. And how do you do that? What does the Word say about sin? What does the Word say about your life and the way you're living it? How does it measure up to God's Word? That's how we know. You know, if you want to know if a wall or a building is built according to specs, what do? You pull out a measuring tape. Because all the little marks on there, they mean something. And they're an accurate measurement, so you can see if whoever built that did it the way they're supposed to. Well, God's Word is that measuring stick. And it's laid down there for you and I. Right now, we can see how we measure up to it. And if we're coming short, He says, repent. That's it. If you're not measuring up, repent. And then live your life better. He said, keep yourselves unspotted from the things of the world. Once you get yourself right with God, take inventory. Paul said, I die daily. Every day, Paul took inventory to see, in this day, do I still measure up to what that I should be? If you've come short, if you failed God, if you didn't do what God wanted you to that day, the way that you should, let Him know you're sorry, and come on, get up with the intention of doing better. Each and every one, never be satisfied with the end of the day, that you can't do better the next day. Why? Because as long as we're striving to enter into that straight gate, as long as we're striving to please God in the bedroom, we can succeed with God's help. But if we say this is good enough and we sat down, we'll never make it to heaven. We believe the lie of the devil and we'll be turned aside. Let us sing. What's in your heart tonight? Do you really want to be a true born-again Christian? Or are you one of those that thinks what I'm given is good enough? You know, Saul, he thought that what he was doing was good enough because he partially obeyed. He only partially disobeyed. But because his partial disobedience erased what that he had done obediently. And when God looked down upon him, what his disobedience outweighed the part that he had been obedient about. And because of it, his kingdom was stripped from him. And that spirit that he had had with God, it left him, and an evil spirit come and took up its place in him. You and I today, you can see people that just turned themselves over to the devil, and what an evilness there is. You can just see it all over them. You can feel it when you're around them. Why? Because they yielded to their self under the very thing that will destroy. You and I today, if we yield ourselves unto God, those around about us can feel that Spirit of God when they get close to it. It might make those that's lost uncomfortable. But when they want the Lord, they'll know where to go to look to find somebody that can pray with them. That can